Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on us. Actually, let me do that again. A rainy, kind of nasty Sunday morning, but thank you for letting us be a part of it. December the 29th. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all you first responders. By the way, the first responders may be really working this morning.
Absolutely.
All over the place. The teachers, too, and everybody out there in Locust Grove. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, happy holidays. And just watching, keeping an eye on the sky this morning. We had some threatening weather that is passing through our area right now as we get to mostly rain, I think, here in the metro Atlanta area has moved off to the east, but boy, what a light show
it's
on the way this morning.
I came in with it. I brought it in with me from out west.
Oh, did you now? Yeah. You always do.
I come in down.
Well, usually you send it. You don't usually bring it.
Yeah, I brought it in with me.
You brought it this time.
I was riding in with it, but
he
heard about
it.
He is
the guilty party. You hear him confess.
I'm blaming Brad Nitz.
No. You just said you brought it in, right?
I came with it. No, I was watching to make sure it didn't cause any more damage.
I think a lot of things, they were really watching things below the airport down in Fayette County, down in the area. Unfortunately, that we've seen get a lot of damage down the Griffin and the Noonan area, Sharpsburg. We were watching that area. They were looking for some possibly spin-ups. Hopefully, I don't think anything has happened down that way, but we hope everyone is in good shape.
The issue was the conversations that took place, post-Christmas Day. And altering plans. Let's drive back on Sunday, a little early. Actually, Saturday night, let's leave. And we'll come up from, Naples, Florida, Miami, down there. And we got to drive back up to Nashville, say. Those folks that left early that are coming through this morning as opposed to leaving this morning and coming through, yikes.
Yeah, they're having to deal with something.
So just as they say on the Weather Channel, just be very careful, especially while it's dark out there. Because you can't see the standing water. Now, this is one of them days that, the SUVs, tailspin, what's the phrase I'm looking for?
Oh, when you do it.
You spin out there.
Yep, you spin.
Fishtail, thank you, Eric.
Fishtail or hydroplane.
Hydroplane. Well, hydroplane can still happen.
Yeah.
Even with the SUVs, but like I said, it's dark out, you can't see the puddles.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you make it through some of them, I worry about, and like I said, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock this morning, they're projecting that this will have made its way through the heavy line, at least, through Georgia. It's going to be some remnants of stuff afterwards. But folks are in a hurry getting back here. Even this morning when I was coming through, you had a couple knuckleheads out there in, like, BMWs flying past you. So just be very, very, very careful out there, folks. Anyway, man, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Usually it's a week since I seen you, but that was just 2 days.
Just
2 days ago.
I saw you, I was on my way to Birmingham.
How'd that work out for you? You went down to Birmingham Bowl?
I got some of this weather.
Oh, that's right. Well, you didn't get this, what we got this morning. You just got rainy.
No. When you came back,
it was nasty like this?
It was nasty. They stopped the game for lightning delay. They stopped the game, and a lot of people were thankful it did because it was really getting... Some bad stuff was happening. The officiating was awful.
Well, that I heard
the
about.
The officiating was bad. I mean, Coach Key kind of lost it there on the sideline. He got a flag thrown on him, and things were going bad. Then the lightning delay comes. They pull the teams off the field. And I said, you know what? You, me, and my crew said, let's go.
Let's go.
And we left. And Tech scored again and made the score respectable in the end. But it's just the way things came undone and unraveled for the team. It's unfortunate the season that Georgia Tech had. A lot of people is in a lot of sniping on social media on that officiating crew. A lot of people said, well, what do you expect? You're playing an SEC team, and the SEC office is right across the street from the stadium, which I didn't know. I didn't know where the SEC office was. I knew it was in the Birmingham area. I thought it was in Hoover.
That's what I thought it was.
They've had media days forever in Hoover,
in
right?
Hoover, Alabama.
They built this new stadium in downtown Birmingham, and their office is right across the street.
Well, they probably got the the holidays off. They ain't in there.
Yeah, right.
Because
you got a game going on with your conference.
They got everything set up for the game. I understand that. There's a few folks offices are closed.
They're going to show up for that. I'm sure there were people in that office that day. Not a full staff.
But
there's some people there. Folks like the mayor of Birmingham, people like that. Because it was a deal for them. And Georgia Tech people really showed up. They sold out, I think, three times their allotment for that game. So it was a lot. And on the way back at Bucky's, a whole lot of soggy, unhappy Georgia Tech fans.
You sent me the picture.
A lot of unhappy, soggy Georgia Tech fans were in there. Still getting that brisket sandwich on their way back. But as an adventure, it was good to go and see that stadium. I'd never been in the stadium over in Birmingham, so it was good to see it.
You're talking about Georgia Tech. Let's not sleep on what happened with, I just had it in front of me here, Georgia Southern. They had, the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That happened on Thursday. They lost. Then Friday, you had these games. Because we got to recap some of the stuff that happened since we were gone, right? Okay, so that was 20th. Not far enough. Where's it at here? This page keeps refreshing. I apologize to y'all.
Okay.
Anyway, the one I really wanted to mention, getting into this, you mentioned Georgia Tech, but the other one I was looking forward to seeing what happened was what happened yesterday. Our own David Archer's Iowa State going up
against Miami. The Fighting Dave Archers.
Now, they won the game 42-41. Although that quarterback of Miami, she sat out the second half.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, you don't see that part of it. You just see the final score.
Right.
And Iowa State got a little bit of money. So, David, Washington.
Do we see a reversal of a trend there of players who we know are bound for the draft, usually sitting out bowl games if they're not games leading to the championship game? Because we saw Shedeur Sanders also play.
We're going to talk about that.
But I'm just saying, guys playing in the game. Do the bowl games enhance or hurt their draft value? Plus, they get a chance to pad their stats a little bit, pad their college stats opportunity. Think about the players who are in the college football playoff and how many opportunities.
That's different.
Like the quarterback at Oregon. He's got three more chances to pad his college numbers.
And I agree with you. But there is going to be the haves and have-nots. And the ones that are in the playoff, especially now that there's 12 teams. Before it was just the four teams, and he had all these other folks. You wondered who was going to show up, who was going to play, who was going to sit, blah, blah, blah. Now, because there's 12 teams, people are just making business decisions. Now, I don't know what this is going to look like moving forward. Everything is new and fresh this year with how people are handling themselves and dealing with, we're not going to be a part of the 12-team playoff, and do I really care that much about, the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl?
Well, you wash down your Pop-Tart, which the Pop-Tart.
I saw that, man.
You wash that down with some of your Snoop and Dre gin and juice. There you go.
You got that backwards.
What?
You do the Snoop thing first, and then you you're looking for the Pop-Tarts.
Well, I'm talking about the sponsor of the game.
The sponsor of the game
is the Snoop with gin and juice.
I get it. We ain't no gin and juice when you think of Snoop. I get it. That's the song.
That's the sponsor.
Okay, I get it.
The sponsor is brought to you by Snoop and Dre's Gin and Juice. They actually made a product.
My man, I understand that. Saying, though, when you think of Snoop first, that's not what you think of.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Willie Nelson got a whole bunch of songs, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's not what you think of first when you think of Willie Nelson.
Well, I'm thinking about the name of the bowl game.
I know you are, and you're being above board, and you're being a lot more respected than me. But I'm just saying, when you think of Snoop, you do the Snoop thing first, and then you're looking for Pop-Tarts.
And then you come back to the gin and juice.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You got to wash it down with something.
I agree with you there. By the way, Miami over Colorado State, 43-7.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the trophy in that matchup. I was curious of what the trophy looked like. Albeit gin and juice and all that. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, no.
These are things that I have missed. I was hoping that you got an eyeball.
The bowl game that gets my attention is this military bowl that took place in Annapolis.
Oh, please. Yeah.
And what happened at the end? East Carolina and NC State had just descended into a brawl at the end of the game. And it reminded me so much of the last time these two schools met in a bowl game, which was here in Atlanta. It was the last football game played at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of a brawl. East Carolina and NC State had played a football game And I think in, oh my goodness, it must have been, it was several years before, and they had a riot basically broke out on the field. And I think they played this game at North Carolina at NC State in Raleigh. Fans came on, tore down the goalposts, just wrecked the field. Everybody was fighting. And the athletic director at NC State at the time, and Mr. Valvano, was the AD, says, we will not play them again. We will not play them under any circumstances. NC State will not play East Carolina until they figured out a way to get them on the field here in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. And it was like, it was the game they couldn't play back home. And it was a great game, great game. East Carolina won it 37-34, Fulton County State. I was there because that was the last football game to be played there because the Georgia Dome was up. And after that,
gotcha,
they were going to play the game at Georgia Dome. So it was, the Falcons were done. It was the last football game played at the old stadium. And so to have them meet in a bowl game again all these years later and have a big brawl breakout, man, it just reminds me of that game that was played back here. It was New Year's Day. They played on January 1, 1992. And,
All right. But again, this bowl season has been sort of an afterthought, to me at least, because we're all waiting for this monstrosity to continue, meaning the 12 teams. Okay, mm-hmm. We got past the first round. It was nice having those home games for those first round of playoffs. But what is New Orleans going to be like when Georgia and Notre Dame show up?
I got somebody that can check in with us Tuesday morning, too, by the way.
We're going to be on, by the way. We should let you know here. This starts 4 days of us being on with you, taking you through the new year. Mm-hmm. Today, 6 until 10. Tomorrow, 6 until 9. Same thing Tuesday, same thing. No, Wednesday we'll be with you until 10 o'clock. So, got Eric today joining us, who was with us last week. Tomorrow, yep, got another producer with us. Day-Day, looking forward to working with him. We got all your folks from the High School Scoreboard Show. And then the lovely Noel returns.
Yep.
The first day of the year. So that's us. We're just getting started.
With sneaker tails. She gonna have sneaker tails for us, so I can't wait until we see her and she lets us know about her adventures. Yeah.
Caleb Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is on me because we should have been talking to Caleb a lot more than we have. He's out there at Hawks games. He's following Georgia. We're going to get thoughts from him coming up at 7:20.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL Hall of Fame finalists have been announced. Get your thoughts on who's there.
Okay.
And should they be there? There's always that. I always hear in the back of my heart.
Well, you can put them there. You can put them there should they get in.
Well,
that's the thing.
I'm talking about the ones that will get in.
Okay.
I keep hearing in the back of my head, Dion, who's got a problem with the way the NFL has inducted people over the last decade or so, and he calls, not the decade or so, but right in the last 5 years or so, I saw him in some sit-downs. He says, this is supposed to be the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good or just good.
Yeah.
And that's his problems with it. So I wonder about one, and I want to get your thoughts on it, but we're going to talk about that. And then we got kind of a conga line as we get ready because we're here till 10. Falcons game got moved to tonight, so we're going to have a little extra time. And Chris Draft,
mm-hmm,
speaking of old Falcons, he is going to hopefully appear here in the studio
Us.
He'll be with us for a couple segments. And then 9 o'clock, getting you set for tonight's matchup. We're going to get the perspective from Washington, mm-hmm, and we're going to get D-Leds. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Just getting started on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. 29th day of December. Be very, very careful if you do have to go out. But if you don't, stay in. Let this rain move out of the area. Should be out of here 8 o'clock, end of the 8 o'clock hour into the 9 o'clock hour. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. We got to deal with this line that is just making its way through the state of Georgia. But by about 9:30 or so, 10 o'clock, all the heavy stuff that is being reported should be gone. They said this thing is moving at like 50 miles an hour
mm-hmm,
plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't moving, hanging around.
It's moving. It's moving.
You got to like that.
As the last map we had, a chance to glimpse with monitoring WSB this morning, and looked like up around Lake Hartwell. It's approaching that way up in the Commerce if you're going up 85. But if you... traveling anywhere right now.
Down south, too.
Chance you're going to be impacted by it.
So be very, very careful. We ain't got no time going to hospitals visiting folks to come over to help you move the trees off your house. We would do it.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't got time for it.
There we go.
We really don't. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm going to talk more about these bowl games. But the Hawks, last night, this is one of those games I kind of wish I had tickets to and wouldn't have minded if I didn't have so much other stuff going on. But they got one of my favorite players on the Heat. And you talk about guys around the league that you like playing other than your hometown favorites. Tyler Hero, for whatever reason, I just like this dude's game ever since he's been with Miami.
Yep.
Long hair, short hair. And he's just dangerous. And I wish for, you know, a minute or two he'd landed on the Hawks. But he did. 28 points last night, 10 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And despite how he played, Bam out of Bayou, how he played, the Hawks persevered.
And also who didn't play once again for them.
Well, yeah, Jimmy Butler. Well, they said he hasn't been Jimmy Butler even if he was playing. He ain't been that dude in a minute. So it's going to take him a little while when he comes back to be that force. But
when you look at the box score, they have a DNP, return to competition conditioning.
Okay.
That is what they describe as the reason why we're not seeing him.
He got summons to the Godfather's house a couple days ago, figuratively speaking, of course, and you ain't going no place, Jimmy. So whatever, you know, was going on social media, maybe he put his people to it, he trying to talk his way out of Miami, which was crazy because the Hawks were looking up at Miami. It wasn't like they were at the bottom of the division.
Right.
But, listen, this is the way it is. Anyway.
Average your way.
The story from yesterday and that win against the Heat, 120-110, for me, was the way they played toward the end of the third quarter. Because, see, now I'm going to start. We've said this throughout. Football season's going on. Haven't really, unless you had to go down there and cover the Hawks and be in the building. Yeah, his focus was still on the NFL, still on college. Well, that's waning. And right now, this is a perfect time before this long road trip. Let's spend some time with the Hawks.
Yeah.
And watching them and the way they played, I'm not going to bring up chemistry anymore when we talk Hawks basketball. Not gonna bring it up. It is not relevant, and I see it's already there. And the way you talked about Quinn Snyder and the way he's using, like, say, DeAndre,
yep.
Off the bench is something that's, you know, is something special.
You wonder why that wouldn't happen sooner. But the bottom line is he had to be healthy and able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had a health issue, seemingly, since coming to this team that has not allowed him to perform consistently at this level. To me, this is the longest period of time that he has performed at this level and whatnot. But overall, the team had a great game. Trae Young, not one of his best performances.
No.
Only 11 points, but 15 assists. After the game, Quinn Snyder talked about he liked the way the team really took care of the basketball.
Or we get into, we don't have as much variety offensively. That said, we took care of the ball tonight. And some of that's because we took open shots. If we pass up shots, usually what comes next, if you're passing up an open three, is not going to end as well as that, that three that we elected not to shoot. So, we just got to keep trying each game to execute a game plan and continue to play together. And I think a big sign for us of kind of where we are game to game is our communication, whether it's on the floor. In timeouts, I'm not in the locker room all the time, so I don't hear it in there. But, I think that's a bellwether for us in many respects.
Ball movement, communication.
Yep.
That's what I'm seeing. That's
mm-hmm.
what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as now as I do a deeper dive and watch these guys play, what I saw was confidence in distribution of the ball. Not just your regular passes. I'm talking about, bringing a little style to it. Knowing where your teammate was going to be 2 steps before he got there. That's some of the stuff that I saw.
Yeah.
I also saw bounce in this team that I hadn't seen last year. So, again, I'm going to pace myself. I'm not going to any conclusions. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, these guys are going to come out and do X, Y, and Z toward the end. Long as you said a little while ago, they stay healthy. I'm not ready to say Boston, even Cleveland at this point. But I'm saying that this team is, meaning the Hawks could pass them. But this team, the way I see it, absolutely can go deep into the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And with a twisted ankle here and something happening there, they could inch their way through. I mean, from what I see right now. And there's a confidence, too, with some of these players, especially the leader of this team. Because he's done – what bigger stage is there other than, like I said, the finals? But what other arena has a bigger stage than where we've already seen him go in and just slap around the opponent with a confidence that we haven't seen in a long time? I'm not going to put a name on anybody.
Yeah.
When Trae Young gets into Madison Square Garden, what is he going to see? What's going to approach him in the playoffs and hopefully finals? Let's have visions of grandeur here. That is going to shake him, that's going to rattle him. I don't think anything.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And to me, that's been the difference. Also, the team's united effort defensively has been great. And you talk about some injuries. Remember, you got Okongwu out right now. Mm-hmm. You got Bufkin that's out. You got Bogey that's out. So you're playing without some guys there. It'll be big contributors. It's been nice to see Larry Nance Jr. be a consistent contributor.
Running the floor, too.
And my thing
running
is this.
Running the floor.
Can we keep that little bit of in the mix when Okongwu comes back? Just keep a little bit of that, too, because that strengthens your second unit. That extends your bench some. 10 points, 10 rebounds for him. Let's hear Coach talk about the way the bench, the second unit, has really helped.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a credit to Trey and JJ, too. You know, there was a few times I think JJ had guys that were not passing up wide open shots, but sometimes to make an extra pass. And if you're the guy on the back end of that and your teammate has that kind of confidence in you, you know, it gives you confidence. So all those guys that you named, I just want them to compete and play defensively and try to be instinctive offensively and get more guys running.
So let me ask you a question. Did I say on the air or did I have this conversation with you?
Yeah.
My thoughts on the possibility of Trey's hair looking darker.
You didn't say it on the air.
I didn't? Okay. Well, if I did, I want to apologize for it because it doesn't look like it. It was the picture I was looking at that made him look like he was dyeing his beard and his hair. It was a picture that they had from the game, okay. And I was like, this dude ain't dyeing his hair, right? Because I hadn't seen him in a minute. Maybe the holidays he was dyeing his hair. I don't know. But when I saw him yesterday, I was like, nah, everything's good. It was just a picture. The picture threw me off, and I hadn't seen him in a minute. So I was curious. And I'm not mad at him. If he wants to dye his hair, God bless him.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's America.
Now. He can do whatever he wants to do now.
Dennis Rodman set the hair.
He set the standard, right?
So whatever you want to do with your hair, we ain't going to be mad at you. And by the way, Jimmy Butler is continuing it, too. You see some of the hairstyles he had and some of the stuff he's been walking out in public with? So
you do that. But we mentioned Hunter. Hunter with 29 minutes yesterday off the bench. 8 for 14 from the field. 26 points. 5 rebounds. Good for him. Let's hear Coach say something else about DeAndre Hunter and his contribution to this team consistently.
Yeah, I never really get tired of talking about it, to be honest with you, because the things that he's done, you know, as far as how he's playing, just his aggressiveness from three, and you saw it tonight, you know, people start to come out on him, and then he's downhill to the rim, and the way that he's finishing and getting to the foul line, like, I just think his reads are really efficient right now, and that's a credit to him and kind of the plan he has when he comes in the game. So he clearly, you know, during the minutes that he's in there, you know, he's stabilizing. And I think on both ends of the floor, he had to guard Hero tonight with Dyson out, which is a heck of a matchup, you know, and then he's wrestling with Bam on the post. And so I've said it before. You know, he's a guy that, as a coach, you love to have on your team because he's just a warrior. He's a soldier.
He come with a plan. And come with his plan, like you mentioned, 3 points. He has 4 out of 7 from three.
Right.
6 out of 7 from the free throw stripe. He shot more free throws than anybody else. He's getting to the free throw line. To look for that and to look for ways to get to the free throw line, I think it's huge for any player to do that. He's coming off the bench with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he's working it each and every night. And those numbers bear it out if you look at that box score.
Who is he reminding you of right now? Who did you say a little while ago? Well, maybe not reminding you of, but you're hoping that he ascends to that level.
You talk about a guy like John Havlicek for a generation.
Y'all got to go look at him. You're talking about black and white footage.
Yep, absolutely. But talk about a guy who was on an extremely talented team, and he could have been a starter anywhere else in the league, but he came off the bench because that's the what Red Auerbach smoked a cigar and so you're going to come off the bench.
I got
it. The bench, but he wrote out coming off the bench. He wrote it all the way to the Hall of Fame. You know, so I mean that's the thing. I don't know if Hunter does that.
Yeah,
and you remember and coaches of a certain ilk tried to get players to see that role. I remember when Lenny Wilkins was here, he tried to get J.R. Ryder to see that role, the role of coming up. He talked about Freddie Brown when he was coaching out in Seattle and the role that he played, and it didn't register at all. Yeah. So to see a player of this generation embrace that, to me is a huge, and the benefit is for the Hawks getting another win.
And that might morph into an eventual starting nod because we've seen that in the past. You talked about Havlicek. I'm going to bring it up a little closer to where we are right now. In fact, another Celtic who started off as a sixth man of the year, got the award. And then people don't know him other than a starter, and that's Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Kevin McHale was coming off the bench.
Well, they were so stacked with people at the time that he went to the team. He kind of had to.
He came off the bench, and I was trying to think of the story that got him there because it's kind of a little famous story, but I can't remember. But him coming off the bench, being that sixth man, and another person, my favorite sixth man in the year. You want to take guess who it is? The microwave.
Oh yeah,
Vinny Johnson. That's my favorite sixth man.
But that was his thing. He came off. You knew what time it was.
You do it right, you get yourself a pair of championships.
How about that?
Let's hope that happens here in Atlanta. We're going to talk about these bowl games. Sam and I are getting started at the 6 o'clock hour. Lots of stuff to cover as we get you ready for tonight's Falcons-Washington matchup. We have got a conga line of guests coming in. We're going to get the perspective of folks in Washington. And, of course, D. Orlando Ledbetter heading toward the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, still rainy out, still nasty out. If you don't have to go out, stay inside for a little while. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 29th day of December. It's the biggest hands in jazz. When I get up to heaven and go to figure out what concerts I'm going to, I'm going over to see Oscar Peterson play. I'm sure there will be a old-timey Vegas up in heaven with all those old hotels in it or some of the Hollywood Bowls or whatever those places.
Well, Hollywood Bowl's still there.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. What's a great – the jazz note. The Blue Note.
Blue Note?
The Blue Note. Okay. I'm going to the heaven Blue Note, and I'm going to go see Oscar Peterson when I get up to heaven. Because there's all these concerts you're going to go to when you get up there.
Okay.
Right? And so –
Blue Note. Yeah, that'll be a place.
Yeah, man. And Miles, I'm sure he's going to be there.
Yeah.
We'll listen to some Miles. Yeah, I got a whole weekend planned.
That all? Just a weekend? You feel that a little
well,
longer?
Then I'm going to the other concerts.
Okay, a little longer than a weekend.
That's going to be one weekend.
Okay, all right.
Then I'm going to go listen to some other music, and then I'm going to go to some games. I'm going to go watch Nolan Ryan pitch to Babe Ruth in some pickup game, that's some Field of Dreams game. I got all kinds of plans. Why are you looking at me funny? I'm trying to fill time here.
See.
You're just over there making notes and stuff. Sam and Greg here.
I'm writing all this down.
I'm
making notes.
It's just coming off the top. Coming up 7 o'clock hour, as always, going to let you know what's going on locally. And Caleb Johnson, our own Caleb Johnson. Our own Caleb Johnson, who we have to, I know it's mostly on me, but we have to apologize to him for not reaching out to him more often to be on the show.
I'll apologize to him, too, because I go to Hawks games and he's there all the time.
So we will have him coming up 7:20. I'm going to talk about some of these Hall of Fame finalists, and then it gets a little busy with your boys. We got Chris Draft, and when Chris Draft comes through the building, he don't just come here for one segment.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of places you can go with him. We can go in a lot of directions with him that he's passionate about. We all know he played for the Falcons. We also played in Washington. Mm-hmm. So he's got a special interest in this game and just his thoughts on the team. And the season, we can do a deep dive into those things. The changing at quarterback. We want to get his thoughts on those things. But also remember that he played collegiately at a school that's a West Coast at a conference that kind of no longer exists. And now his school is an ACC school and how he feels about it. And the nature of things with college athletics, the things we've seen happen just in recent weeks, the going back and forth of coaches, the going back and forth of players. I just went at a game with Georgia Tech. They're playing against a guy who got another year of play from a junior college. The NCAA says, okay, you can play another year, get NIL. The next day, this guy from Vanderbilt has a something up. He's endorsing an NIL app. The money's already falling out of the tree for this dude. So I'm just saying, what are his thoughts? What are Chris Draft's thoughts on those things?
You're burying the main question, though. How much would you have made if you were playing during an NIL era.
You know, well, Chris Trapp, think about it now. He's a two-sport athlete.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a two-sport athlete. He's football and baseball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's the, he's both of them at Stanford. And I'm curious to hear what he has to say, you know, about that. Especially, well, you know, and especially considering who one of his classmates was at Stanford.
You know? Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, you know, so.
By the way, I have a 30 for 30.
Uh-oh.
Waiting to happen. Because you mentioned, because it hasn't been done. And he's a friend of ours. But I absolutely believe his story is worthy of a 30 for 30 because he's forgotten about. And he calls him, he's got the best name too. And he gave it to himself, the Rodney Dangerfield of two sport athletes. And that's our friend Brian Jordan.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me he doesn't deserve or could not fill up a 30 for 30? He was right there when Mark McGwire started all this stuff. He'd been here on the Falcons. He was here.
He was with Deion.
He was with Deion. I'm saying there's stories surrounding Brian Jordan played that are, I think, the sports community doesn't know about.
Yeah.
And some of these other 30 for 30s they've had are like, huh? So you throw in the Rodney Dangerfield part of it. You get comments from the other guys talking about them.
But he's like the guys you compare a lot of times who have been these all-time greats. People say, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
He's got him an oh, yeah guy.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
So I'm thinking that's a 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to put that together. I don't have the means to, but I'm figuring Brian. And shout out to Brian. We haven't had him on for a minute, too.
Yeah, to track him down. He's on the go, though. That's good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
All right, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Of the games that you really, I won't just say yesterday, because there was a lot of them yesterday, but just overall during this bowl season, not the playoff games, which ones have you looked forward to watching? Georgia Tech, you talked about that. You traveled out there to Birmingham for that one. But what's on your radar next as far as some of these games?
Gosh, you know, the ones you have on your radar, obviously the big ones coming up, but there's still some football between then and now. If you just watch some of the games took place yesterday, there's so many yesterday that I wanted to see. Obviously, we were watching the Colorado, waiting for that one last night to see what happened, but it's pretty one-sided affair.
Tuesday for me.
You know.
Tuesday.
So this coming Tuesday?
Alabama and Michigan.
Alabama and Michigan?
Not at Michigan, but versus Michigan.
Versus Michigan.
What that's going to look like. It's going to look nothing like it when they played a few years ago, given these two programs, plus the departure of so many kids that aren't going to be playing in this game. I know there's going to be at least 9-10 Michigan Wolverines that aren't going to be playing.
Right.
And it's not like they set the world on fire this year either. They just did exactly what they had to do. They had a so-so season, and they wrapped it up with a nice bow the way they finished up in Columbus. They can't do more than that. And the rest of those guys, they are declaring themselves for what's next. Alabama, on the other hand.
They're a wave of good games on Tuesday. And like you said, there's those two big brands. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to watch because of what the recent past does with them. And rightfully so. The South Carolina-Illinois game, the Citrus Bowl game, are two programs that kind of taken off.
Yes, they have.
And to me, those guys are going to hang around and play this game. It's a deal for their schools. South Carolina was right there on the edge of one of those team programs you had to really consider for the playoffs. I'm curious to see how they do, because this game is something that catapults them to the next season, and it's up to both coaches how they retain their guys. You know, do you have more guys to jump off the ship after they play this bowl game, or do you retain what you have and add to it to make yourself this real formidable team in your conferences next year? So to me, of all the games that are happening on Tuesday, I gotta get an eye on that South Carolina Illinois game. And you know how Illinois' program has struggled through the years.
It really has.
And to be consistent and to be relevant and whatnot. It's a big game for them, man.
I mean, it's strange how college football, as far as the Big Ten, you know, I told you I grew up not watching it. They used to pipe in Notre Dame games on the UHF station. But it's funny how once you get past or south of Columbus, Kentucky? I mean, when it comes to college football, it's like there's this gap in the middle of America right there. It picks back up once you get to Columbus, and of course then you get up to Michigan and some of the other northern teams, Michigan State even made some noise for a minute. But Illinois never got any traction.
They've had great players.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, not till you got down to Tennessee. It was like south of Chicago – down to Nashville. Wasn't much happening college football-wise.
Yeah.
And right now, listen, these are a couple 9-3 teams. And I don't know what Illinois is going to do. And maybe they see an opening because of this, the moving staircase, if you will, of the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, we've talked about this a number of times. Instead of speculate what's going to happen next year, it's going to be at least 2 years before we get some semblance of understanding of what college football and the 12-team playoff, how they're going to look for those 12 teams, all of that stuff. The fog is still here now. It will, I believe, be lifted, hopefully, maybe the end of next season, but probably a couple of years before we have a clearer understanding. And if they have to make some major tweaks to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you got a program like South Carolina that's got their eye on it. They said, we could do what we did this year and be a threat for this thing. You know, what can we do? What can we do going forward to pick up for this? So, I mean, that's, to me, that's what you watch for as far as the games that are coming up. Tuesday, you got Duke Ole Miss as well. No, this is on New Year's Day. You got Duke and Ole Miss on the Thursday on January 2nd, other than the New Year's Day, the playoff games. So that's the game that I like. This Monday game, Missouri against Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, I can walk Jesse on that game.
They're going to play this one in Nashville, too.
Look how you got your mouth all curled up for that one.
Wow, man.
And here's the other thing, too. We're talking about the some of the matchups and the brands, as you put it. What you got to say about Baylor and LSU? Yeah, like you just just put some smelling salts under your nose.
You're right, but I mean, in the case of LSU, you also wonder what's going to trot out on the field.
Exactly.
You know, the guys that are taking off and you know that program, because you know what the hopes and the expectations of that program are all every year to be there and be a part of this.
This is what we're talking about,
right? You know what I mean? So to me, that's why the South Carolina Illinois game is the one that I watch a little bit. That you know, there's two ways you can use these bowl games. They're a nice finish. You know, to the season, coaches like them because they get to have more organized practice. You know what I mean? Coaches like to keep that routine, man. They're going to wake up in the morning and we go, let's go out, hit this field and do some things. And in those practices, you can bring in players, including the guys that you just signed. The new signees, the guys who finished up all their high school academics, they can go ahead and get to college early. Those guys get to be a part of the practices. So that was cool. You had guys that played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, last week for the state championship games. By that weekend, they were at their colleges practicing with their college teams, not to play in the games, but just to get acclimated to it, to get used to it. That is what coaches love to use this time for, in addition to the game. So it's an important time in that regard. You get to look at what's next with your team before your spring practice goes. It's practically a never-ending thing. You know what I mean? You got to shut it down for a few weeks before you have your spring ball, whenever it starts at the back end of February or the middle of March or whenever you start your spring ball. But that's what makes this time period big, is the practices that they get to have with those players.
And in 2024, those practices, well, these coaches have to get a little bit more creative, because you know you're going to have X amount of players gone. Whether it's they're not going to be in this bowl game or that bowl game, or they've just decided I'm going to hit the transfer portal. And by the way, when is that decision going to be made as far as how many times a year are you going to be?
That's a big adjustment.
You know what I mean?
That's a big adjustment.
That's going to be next.
And that's the conflict, because you want to get these guys signed so that guys who want to come to school early can do this, can go and practice with their teams. But at the same time, you don't want that to be a disruption to what you know, for the teams who are in the playoff. If you're not in the playoff, it's fine. You know, Alabama right now is fine. Let's bring these guys in. We're playing a bowl game. Okay, fine. But if you're Georgia, you're like, whoa. You know, we're trying to get somewhere and really focus on these on these playoff opportunities. So it's not the same for everybody.
All right, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, like I said, Caleb Johnson's going to join us, going to talk about these NFL Hall of Fame finalists. Chris Jaff's going to join us top of the 8 o'clock hour. But before we get on out of here, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's happened again.
Again?
It happened
again.
And I don't know what these athletes are going to do. Luka Doncic, you hear about this?
Yeah, man.
While he's out playing and putting up points, somebody broke in his house.
This is a scary trend.
Got his house burglarized while he was at work, at 30 grand in jewelry and some other stuff stolen from his house. But this, first of all, when I think of these millionaire athletes, I'm thinking that where they live ain't too easy to get into. You know, it's a gated community. You probably got some. See, I always figure some Rottweilers would cure all this.
True.
You get yourself some. Forget about the alarm system, which, of course, I'm sure you have. You get yourself a couple Rottweilers that you're comfortable leaving in the house, like they do at some businesses where they close up. They just got some dogs who stay there all night long. But this is happening way too frequently. But in case you didn't hear, like I said, Dallas Mavericks superstar Luka Doncic was burglarized, got his home busted into while he was at work. And again, this is a crazy trend. I just have a feeling we're going to hear of this story and then something tragic happening connected with it.
And we've had something like happen before now.
Well, that's true.
We wish not to have to relive that. But at the same time, you're right. You know, something you got to have a deterrent. Seemed like there could be a deterrent.
You would think.
You're going to keep around.
And you got to get silly about it because obviously what you're doing is not working in some cases.
Yeah.
Dude is 86 years old today, did not know. Happy birthday, John Voight, one of the greatest actors, period.
Yeah, man, right.
Man. Anyway, we are moving into the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.